Hey, dude, this is...
Yeah.
It's like nightly news. Good evening. We're here at the broadcast studios of WKMXJ. I don't know. We're here to talk about Eddie Pepitone. I don't have his bio in front of me. But am I wrong to remember that he was either a winner on Last Comic Standing or he was a contestant on Last Comic Standing?
He might have been.
I mean, he was.
Last Comic Standing was a weird thing where it was like, it was presenting people who have been doing it for 25 years
as
some bullshit, like, you know, judgment panel.
Star Search or America's Got Talent for comedians.
So I never watched it because I was like, hang on. You're telling me someone said who was on the panel and I'm like, how the fuck are they, the people on the panel, judging people who are... been doing it 20 years longer than them. This makes no sense.
The judges were comedians, right?
Yeah, the judges were comedians.
Who were some of the judges? I don't remember.
I don't even remember. Someone told me who they were.
Old hacks?
No, they were like, you know, well, they weren't old hacks because they were, it's a TV show, right? So it's young, like, people with appeal. And I'm like, well, how would they sit in judgment of people?
Isn't that what this show is right here, what we're doing? We're sitting in judgment of other comedians.
Yeah, but no one's going to listen to this, and it doesn't really matter.
We're not on TV.
This isn't like a $500,000 an episode TV show.
How much is it? Does each episode cost?
I think our budget's $50.
Okay.
So, yeah, never watched.
Well, I think he was. I don't know. Should have looked that up. But that's how I heard about him. Originally, and I may have seen him back then, but this watching him this time was the first time I sat down and really watched him.
But wouldn't you have seen him years and years ago when you were like, because he's East Coast, New York, blah blah blah.
How long is this guy? I mean, he's in his 50s at least, right?
I think he's 60 something.
So this guy's been grinding for a long time. Yeah. Or is he one of these? See, because I kept thinking about, because of his age and his relatively recent popularity, that he was more of like a Lewis Black, I'm going to take a swing at this later in life type of guy.
You know what? I don't, because I first saw him at some bullshit showcase thing in LA. And I'm running around the room going, God, this guy's amazing. And everyone, you know, obviously the LA heads who were just in this constant stew are like, oh, yeah, that's Eddie. Like, he's been doing it forever. And I'm like, huh,
he was like an Adam Crotius of L.A. or something?
Well, yeah, but not bad. Like, he was people...
Well, Adam Crotius is in L.A., so...
Yeah. Oh, right. But he's like a comics comic, you know what I mean? Like, he's the comic the comics are going to like. So
he is an Adam Crotius. We love Adam Crotius. Does he have a special we could review? If you can pull out a tape of that Bob Wright special?
Stop.
At the Corn Conservatory? Did you ever see one of those?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was the second show, and then it got canceled after three. Right?
No. This is not a cancelable show. He paid to rent the theater.
That's not how it works. Anyone can rent the theater, but you still have to hit X amount of people.
I think he would constantly say, "I'm taking a bath on this show." He was taking the bath. He could take it. As far as the Conservatory cared, he could take a bath every night. They were going to get their money.
I think if you check up with your boy Crotius, you'll find that they basically said you got to hit this many people in the audience every week.
And you never got to see it?
Yeah, I did. I told you, the second week, I think. I never go the first week. I went the second week.
You went multiple times?
No, I went the second week of its 3-week run.
You were going to go multiple times?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
See it again.
One of those people. But, yeah. What were we talking about? So that's the Eddie Pepitone thing. I guess it's a black hole as to, like, when he started.
So what do you think about comedians that they grind for abnormally long, if that's the case with him, and then they make it? Is that a black mark on their record for
that's
not?
That's not a thing, though. Who makes it late?
Oh, I think there's been some.
Remember, this is showbiz. Like, once you're over 35, you're really like playing on the house money, so to speak.
So yeah, but for that reason, Eddie Pepitone's inspiring to me, right? Or Louis Black. Anyone that makes it late gives us hope. You know, gives us old comedians hope. Like it's never too late. Has there ever been a comedian that made it? There has, made it in their 60s. You know, or just out and started doing comedy in their 60s. Leslie Nielsen was an actor, became a comedic actor much later after he'd done lots of drama. Yeah. There you go. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, but he doesn't stand up comedy.
No. Dangerfield, yeah. I think so, right?
I thought he was like a vaudevillian borscht belt or whatever they call it.
Catskills.
Catskills guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he hit it late because he was old.
What happens with old comedians who make it is they're there, they're good, but you know, face doesn't fit. And then later in life, someone like a Sandler comes in and goes, you know who was good and never got their druthers? This guy. Because who was the guy? Wasn't it Rickles or someone that like Sinatra basically said, you know, everyone, he was just there, and then Frank Sinatra.
Rickles might have been, yeah.
I think Frank Sinatra said, no, so you know, this is my opener.
Right.
And he was older. Maybe he wasn't older. So I think when you're talking about older comedians that make it, I think it's they're good. They're always good. They're there. And then it takes someone to go, oh, I remember that guy. Let's pull him up with me.
Yes. Yeah. And that's when they get their moment or launch.
I think that's Eddie. You know what's really weird is Eddie Pepitone stayed at my house a couple of times. And
we've talked about this.
I'm really
at your
name
house.
Dropping now.
You really are.
And I've never really asked him.
He took a shit in your house.
Yeah. And I've never asked him what his history is.
Okay. You opened that door, and I just want to know more about Eddie Pepitone and what he did in your house. Did he sit there and eat breakfast at the Nook with you and Heather?
No, he's vegetarian.
He mentions that in there. Well,
he's not a vegetarian anymore, but most comedians who come to stay, you barely see them.
Where do they stay? In that basement?
No, in the upstairs, but it's like they'll be doing stuff in the day and stuff, and
they just
crash at night. You know,
you give them a key. Do you have to get out of bed and let them in? And
no, give them a key, and then when I go to the show, I'll be like, well, I'm headed to the theater at this time.
You need a ride.
You want a lift? Yeah, and blah blah blah.
Will you leave them there in your home alone to have the run of the joint?
Well,
or will Heather stay there
to make
sure they're not fucking rooting through your drawers and shit?
No, most of the time they're not there. I got to go do a voiceover. I got to do this, that, or the other.
Yeah. But you didn't answer the question. Will you leave them alone in your home?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. So, all right. So he's been there a couple times. So you're biased, is what you're saying. Eddie Pepitone stayed in your home. You're not going to critique him harshly.
No, I mean, I'm going to critique him clinically.
Okay, clinically dissect his act. Yeah. Okay, well, all the people we've talked about so far, I don't think I've laughed harder at an opening bit than him coming out shouting, Molly. I'm on Molly right now. I took Molly. And I'm loving it.
Why don't Americans say ecstasy? Fucking Molly. What does that even mean?
That's the newer parlance.
I'm on E.
E.
Yeah.
I'm rolling on E.
Sorted for ease and whiz.
I don't know when it became Molly, but the fact that this old guy is shouting at my mom, I loved him. And then I will say it was all downhill from there. I don't think there was anything else I liked for the rest of the special.
Really?
No, I mean, I wouldn't say it like that, but the fact that the guy comes out and kills me with a bit, and then that was it. Yeah, that was really it for me.
What?
Because
he goes straight into waving at boats, and his dad worked down the docks.
Yeah,
that didn't get you?
Why don't you talk about why you love Eddie Pepitone?
The technicality of what I like about him. First of all, I get a lot of pleasure in comedy from specific phrases. Like, they have to be doing something with the language, mm-hmm. you know. So like, I didn't write any of his specifics down, probably because I've seen it before. But when he's talking about sitting in LA watching it like snow and blizzards in the
Midwest.
That
I love. That when I
these Midwest fucks, and he goes. Hey, I gotta go work at the ammonia factory. Like,
stirring ammonia. Yeah, his characterization of Midwestern people was amazing, right? That was great. Sitting in the Midwest, freezing my ass off while I'm watching this.
I gotta go work at the ammonia factory. And then there's, he's talking about like if you work in an office job and you have loads of pictures of the places where you have been happy, and you just got starts going, someone throw lie on me, throw lie on me. Like this line, like you can, if you want to win the Mark Geary's comedy heart, yes. Right?
And everybody does.
Everyone does. They sure. Better goddamn
people
do.
Come through here.
you better have some dynamite like little phrases that just come out at, like, because everyone can do a funny bit, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone can be like, oh, yeah, this would be a funny premise. But to ink it, to close the deal, you gotta have this, like, killer line in it. Because Eddie's talking about stuff like, yeah, my dad used to work down the docks, right? He's working class. But he kept, like, building on it with some killer lines and stuff.
Like the live rats blanket.
Yeah, I mean that wasn't so much, but there was some other stuff in there. But yeah, the ammonia fact.
That was gold. Yeah. That one was gold. Sure.
And then you're going to find out that you really did like this.
Well, that's
by
happened.
The time.
That's what's interesting about this. When we get to talking about it while I watch it, and I think part of it too is, I wouldn't call myself a comedian necessarily, but as someone who has done comedy, it's hard to enjoy it, right? Like if you're a musician. You're watching, you know, the music, you're not just enjoying the music, you're like, what's he doing there with his hand there, you know, like, so you look at it too critically, and then when you get to talk about it, you realize more of the brilliance of some of the things, right? Which is what makes this great to me.
What did you think about the bit about, you know, I'm gonna have Alzheimer's but with confidence, I'm gonna walk into a shop and go, where the hell am I? and like the woman says, you're in Saks or whatever, remember that bit? I can't remember the phrase that he had though at the end of it. It's, I don't want to know where I am, I want to know why I'm here, or something.
I mean, you know, so when we review some other comedians, they're covering ground that's old, like, mm-hmm. Black people are this way, white people are this way, you know, liberals are this, whatever. What makes him good is he's digging for new territory, right? Yeah, like he's digging at stuff that other people aren't digging at, right? Which is great. And that it's not all going to work, right? And I think I love when a comedian has a joke that falls flat, and how they respond to that really either wins me over or fucking makes me not like them, right? And I think there was a couple spots in the set that weren't polished where he kind of loses his train of thought. He even says at one point, like, I'm lost in this set, right? Like, it's just that moment where you know the guy's trying to keep this entire hour, 45 minutes together, and he's lost his flow, right? And he acknowledges it. That shit I love, right? I love the unpolished, whereas I think maybe you, technically speaking, clinically speaking, like more of the polish, more of the professionalism of a comedian. You don't like sloppy.
I don't like sloppy out of the gate. I mean, I still, the moments of genius in stand-up comedy are the off-script bits. But obviously with these specials, they're not just going to go point the camera and let's see what happens. So with Eddie Pepitone, he's off-script like all of the goddamn time when you see him live. I mean, there's bits, but off-script is a key element to him. But in filming a special,
you got to stay on track.
You got to stay on the material,
yeah,
because you can't just see what happens in it. And so, for guys like him, it is harder, I think, to do a special because it's like, yeah, special isn't really me.
Right.
I mean, the bit that you're talking about that fell sort of flat was, I think he improvised it. He's talking about like, oh, I like to listen to early Joe Starlin in the car and then drive around like and play some Mussolini and all this. And I don't think that was planned because I never really? Heard that. I've seen him a million times. I've never heard that bit. This set had some Eddie classics in. So he ends with the Eddie classic. Not my favorite, but the Eddie classic is How Do You Get the Shirt So White?
You've heard that bit before?
Oh, yeah. That's many times. I mean, if you've got that bit in your arsenal, you have to bring it out every night.
See, I hated that bit. Like,
really?
Yeah. So I couldn't have loved him more at the beginning and less at the end because I've sat through 45 minutes to an hour of this guy yelling at me, right?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's too much, right? Like, especially that bit was long and it was repetitive and redundant and yelling and yelling. It's like, that's when I'm like, make this end, please. This end. Yeah.
That's the signature Eddie bit. The first time I ever saw that, I was blown away.
Really? Why do you think that is so funny? I don't find that.
Because it's heightening and it's a novel take. And he's got several bits like that that you're like, okay, this is the greatest hits. He has another bit where he goes, hecklers are always so dumb. They don't really, they just shout random shit at you. And then he gets off the stage and he walks around. And he goes, this is how I would heckle me.
Oh, that's cool.
If I was in the crowd, this is how I'd heckle me, right? So he's walking around in the crowd and he starts going, hey, Eddie, why do you always dream about red birds? What the fuck is that about? And then he goes, hey, Eddie, are you gonna cry yourself to sleep again tonight? Like, you know, and then he gets into all this really personal stuff.
Yeah, that's good.
That's great, right? That's good, so to me, those are the signature bits that I'm like, okay, well, you can't do that in a special, but that white shirts bit, every time he does it, though, he has the standard bits of it, but he'll throw in like other stuff.
Yeah, and I just felt like with that bit, I didn't necessarily like the bit itself, even if it was stripped down, but like he was revving too much, revving, yeah, like revving the engine to get to that. It's not what, it's not how you get the shirts away, it's why do you get the, right? Like, and whoom, whoom, and he, you know, it's just too much revving.
Is there a shoutier comedian than Eddie?
Well, again, I've, you know, been,
I mean,
in
there's,
ice, so,
no, I mean, classics.
You classics. Well, you got Kinison, you got Lewis Black. Those are shouty guys.
Black's not shouty. Oh. See, I think he's angsty.
Yeah, but yelling. It's a lot of yelling.
I don't remember the yelling so much with Lewis Black.
His head would look like it's going to explode. Yeah. And
Kinison,
I don't,
was, he
well,
would
that was
just,
that was just screaming.
Yeah.
Ah, wah. I don't necessarily, I'm not necessarily against the yelling. I didn't like with him the way he would yell, and then change into this, like, I don't know how to describe the voice, almost like a classical thespian voice. But that is not the way we, you know, it's like, it was, you know, like.
But you can't keep.
Can't be both of the, you can't keep yelling, but then like to go swing it completely the other way to this very refined character, you know. And he even says, he calls it mixed signals, right? I felt, he talks about mixed signals. I'm giving you mixed signals. Well, his act is mixed signals. And I remember starting out as a comedian and this, like, what Wanda Sykes does have is she knows who she is. She has an identity. To me, he still doesn't have an identity. He's shouting, and then he's trying to be very intellectual. He's very base in talking about, you know, just jerking off and listening to porn in his car, which bits, those are great. But then you can't go high, low. Maybe that's why you like him and other people like him, because he goes low and then high in terms of like highbrow humor, lowbrow humor. But then he's shouting and then he's speaking very eloquently in a character-y voice. And it's like, do you know who you are? Who are you? Right? And I don't think you have to be an archetype, right? But
I thought you said in your Sandler, you like Sandler because he's sweet and sour.
But
how's that different?
Yeah, I don't think of those as opposite, right? Dirty and kind. That would be mean and kind, right? Like if you were mean and then sweet. Dirty and sweet are kind of like devilish, right? They're, you know, one's devilish and kind of sweet.
So you know,
maybe they are, and maybe I am contradicting myself. But for me, I just, you're gonna shout at me, I'll take the shouting. But then you want me to listen to your intellectual side, and then you're gonna go back to shouting, talking about jerking up. I don't know. Pick one or the other. Yeah.
No. I didn't really have any complaints on. The only complaint I had for the Eddie set was he talks about how comedy, the ultimate evolution of stand-up comedy, is for someone to just walk on stage and burst into tears and like cry and howl for 10 minutes and then leave.
Yeah.
That is totally stolen from me and Crocius. Totally.
Yeah. Oh, cry like, yourself to sleep. Yeah. Well, he does, like, still does that bit, Crocius.
Yeah. I mean, I remember back in the late night, me and Crocius sat there and goes, this is where comedy is headed. Like, it's just going to be people walk on stage and cry. And then I was like, he kind of lifted
kind
that.
Kind of is getting there, isn't it?
Well, when I used to run that goddamn open mic that you liked, the Red Lion one, at one point I was ready to stop it because I was like, this isn't a goddamn psychiatrist couch for you assholes. Like, put on your clown nose and your big floppy feet and do a clown dance. Don't walk on stage and talk about your daddy issues and whatever.
Without any jokes.
Bullshit that I don't care about.
Right. Well, when I was running my most recent open mic, maybe you've heard of it. The Four Trays. Do you react to The Four Trays?
Wait, you know,
It's on hiatus from COVID. We're on COVID hiatus right now. We're still waiting for Fauci to give us the green light to come back.
Is that storage thing with all my shite that I left?
Got ruined.
Still there.
Well, most of that shit got ruined. Well, you took some of the stuff out of there, they told me. Like the curtain got, they had a flood and the curtain got, even though it was in the.
It was in a plastic
tub. I know,
tub.
I don't know. It got, when I went in there, with the curtain was ruined and shit. But I did salvage the audio stuff.
I think
but you had taken the speaker, like the
I
big
think
speaker.
There was a speaker that I needed because one of my speakers crapped out.
Yeah,
I think I went.
So
back
that was gone.
Got,
but like the mic stand.
Everything else was in there.
Yeah, I mean it wasn't much, but when I was doing that open mic a couple years ago, and it wasn't really an open mic. It was
booked.
It was booked, but you know the comedians that would come in were doing just what you described. They're just talking about their problems and their family, and their dad was mean, and there was no fucking jokes. Right? It was just them doing therapy. I thought you were going to say comedy is back then was not a psychiatrist's couch, but a psychiatric ward, which I love. I love lunatics, people that are fucking crazy.
I mean,
that kind of thing.
There were those people on the scene, obviously, but no. For me, it was like, don't bum me out. Like, I'm not interested in your struggle unless there's some punchline to it. And what were we talking about?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. So comedy ultimately is just going to be karaoke crying.
It is. It seems like that's where it's headed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, not good. Not good for the field.
It is. If you're a good joke writer, you should be liking that fact because you're going to be in demand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're going to be in demand. If you can write a joke, holy crap.
Yeah, they're not a lot of... Well, listen, Pepitone to me is more of the psychiatric ward type of guy. Like, he's got a crazy... And I do like that about him. So it's not that I don't like him or the jokes that he wrote. It's, again, I don't want... being yelled at and then being asked to, swallow something else and then being yelled... It was just too much yelling.
I could see that people... You either buy Eddie or Eddie's. What's good about Eddie is he's polarizing. You can love it or hate it. You're not going to fall in the middle.
But I think your point about somebody not being built for a special is probably true, right? Like this guy would probably thrive in a looser. Give him an hour, he's just going to do whatever. It's not being taped. He'll either stick to the script or he won't. He'll go where it goes.
Yeah.
Here he's forced to find his greatest hits and stay on his greatest hits for the special. And that's probably not how, he plays best. You know?
Yeah, no, no. I will say the special is not nowhere near as good as watching him live. Which, you know, people say that about bands and stuff, don't they? Like, oh, I don't want to listen to the album. I just want to see him live or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite, actually.
Like, anyway. It depends on the comedian. It depends on the band, right? Some bands, the record is just perfect, and you go see him live, and it's ramshackle. And it's like, fuck, this is, you know, this doesn't sound, I can't even sing along. It's coming out different, you know?
Yeah. Oh, well.
Okay. I also want to say that I think you like him because he looks like you. I think we like comedians that resemble us. He kind of looks like you.
Does he look like me?
Yeah, he just does the same, you know, mold, you know.
He looks like mold.
No, you're from the same mold.
Oh.
The same jello mold.
Yeah.
Both, yeah.
I've never had anyone say you look like Eddie.
Well, I wouldn't say you look like.
I normally get the guy. Like I look like the guy from Lost.
I don't know.
Or Fat Boy Slim.
Yeah, I could see that. I'll see like a little bit of a rounder Dobby from Harry Potter, the house.
I never watched that.
Okay.
So we're kind of petering out here, right?
We're petering out, but this is another one I want to say. The laugh track, or not the laugh track, but the laughter was way too high. It was every joke was ha! Every, you know, like they've got a guy screaming into a microphone for the laughter at the show.
Again, I didn't know. So I got a tin ear. He has. So talking to the technicalities, I mean, he dressed up. I know what he dresses like off stage, so he dressed up. So that's good.
The
piles of books in the back. I felt, well, it was better than nothing. But I'm not sure. I've seen that done.
The books?
Yeah.
If you're going to be yelling at me about jerking off in your car, great. But I don't know, the books in the background, right? Like, what is that?
It's better than nothing, I guess.
And you can tell the guy's smart, right? And he reads. And maybe that's what he wants to convey, is that I'm not just, you know, a loon that's yelling at you and... Dirty.
I don't know. If you were doing a comedy special, what would you have as the background? What would your set be?
Well, I don't know that I would have one. You know what I mean?
You gotta have something.
Yeah, but I know. I think
just a black wall.
Yeah, maybe.
What about a brick wall?
Yeah, like a brick wall.
That'd look good, wouldn't it? Like it would make you look working class, but
you know, I'd have a maroon curtain. Like you'd have it at the Red Lion.
Yeah.
That's all I need. Yeah.
I love maroon curtains. Look, there's one behind you. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. You love maroon. What would you
have? It's showbiz.
What do you think? What kind of background would you have? Bigger,
you know,
is
what?
Better?
Give me a week to think about it. I'll answer that at the next one.
Yeah. You'll give a funny answer for that. We'll give you time to cook something up.
Yeah. I always wanted to be a DJ instead of doing this comedy bullshit. And what I thought would look good is, instead of just being a guy on stage, you know, twiddling the decks, I got all these, do you remember my old 35mm slide collections that I used to get from thrift stores and stuff? And I used to pull out the really good, funny ones. And I thought it'd look really good if you were DJing behind this just ever-changing facade of slides.
But isn't that a distraction?
Well, as a DJ, it isn't, because you're there for music, so it's stimulating. You couldn't do it as a comedian.
Yeah.
Because I remember watching a comedian, an English guy called Ross Noble, and his backdrop was this massive just picture of his head, and he's doing like this, right? It's massive. But what was weird was it was sort of animated, and literally you would like see it imperceptibly like change. So
like from different angles or something?
No. Like it was like,
oh, it was slowly changing. The image, like, was changing.
Yeah, it was like it was, but it was changing so slowly that you were like, did that just change? Or
so did that take away from the experience?
No, I mean, it was still all right, but I thought that's a weird thing to do. I thought maybe it was like a psychological thing with the audience, like get them, like am I imagining the background is changing, but it's doing it so fucking slowly that it isn't doing it? Anyway, that was a weird background.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Whatever the background, whatever the clothes is, it's got to match the comedian.
Next show, I'll have what Mark Geary's background would be.
Okay. Well, I'll look forward to that. I know Heather listening. Yeah. And my wife will want to know as well. Okay. Well, I know he's not, you started off by saying he's not the same. He's never going to be like that first time you saw him, right? Mm-hmm. When you saw him live and in person.
And you're like, wow, this is something. Yeah.
But how did you like specifically this special?
It's good. I know you say I'm going to do this anyway, but I'm still giving it a kill because quality wise, it's up there.
Yeah. It's up there with against other comedians or against his own work, either way.
Up there against what else is out there to watch.
Yeah. When was this special made? Is it recent?
No, I think it's three years ago, maybe.
Okay.
I don't think there's anything in there that dates it. Oh, there's a Trump. It must have been during the first Trump reign because he has that joke like, I just want Trump to come out as the Joker with like... So it was obviously, you know, whatever, still, yeah, it's a bit older then, right? If it's the first Trump reign, you're talking 17 to 20.
Okay. Oh, so yeah, it's a
late. I want to say late. Yeah. No, because it'd have to be pre-COVID.
This was all pre-COVID?
It would have to be, right?
What are we reviewing next week on the show? Eddie Murphy, Delirious?
No, I don't know.
Richard Pryor live at the Sunset Strip.
No, actually, that's a good point. Okay, let's just do the kill.
Okay.
So,
you're giving him a kill, confirmed kill?
Yeah, confirmed kill.
Come on. You could give him a confirmed maim, but a kill? You think he killed in the special?
I think he killed in this special. Okay.
The last thing I have written down here, what he's saying is ruined by how he's saying it.
Oh, that's so many comedians.
Yeah, right. And for me, the way he's saying things to me is ruins a lot of, I think, really good material, but you're ruining it for me by yelling at me and then, you know, downshifting to a quiet, and you know, and then yelling at me, and yelling at, and it's like, I can't make this, when we talk about, you want this to be over, I wanted this fucker to be over.
All right, so it's a bomb then, is it?
Jeez, I'm afraid he's going to come in here at some point, and I'm going to bump into him, or he's going to be at your house. I'm like, yeah, he won't listen to this, so it doesn't matter. Bomb! we don't have any sound effects here, Christian. I don't know why I don't have any sound effects. So my bomb sound effect is going to be the jerking off sound effect.
All right.
Bomb.
All right.
All right. Tune in next week when we review Rodney Dangerfield. Live at the Comedy Store in 1978. See what you think about
Tell
that.
Tell me what we're really reviewing.
Well, I don't think we're limited to living and comedians here, but I was thinking...
When's this SNL at 50 bullshit? Because we have
up.
To do that, right?
I want to do that. I want to get out. I want us to review both to go like Siskel and Ebert in the balcony and review live comedy. In the audience.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. That's a step too far. Make me watch comedy, but make me go to it.
How about we do less well-known comedians and review them here at the Lincoln Lodge? No, because it would be too hard to give them that review. Well, Bert Haas would bring you in and tell you you're a piece of shit if you're a piece of shit.
I'm not interested. In here? No. It's not what I'm about. Because what my opinion is doesn't matter to the Lincoln Lodge.
Okay, well.
I hold no sway.
Then we'll go to Zany's and we'll sit in the audience and watch Larry Reeb.
Well, I guess we could say what my opinion is doesn't matter, full stop, but there's no point in doing
that. I understand that. You wouldn't want to do that. But maybe we'll go see Dice at Rosemont.
I already ticked Dice off the list.
You don't want to review Dice?
I mean, I've already seen it. You only see it once.
Yeah. No, I think...
If I was going to do a review of a live, I'd go to Dice.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like I already I saw what it was. Yeah. It was great. It was scumbag central, obviously. Yeah. It was it was fights in the audience before the show. There was literally a fist fight like three rows down from me, and I was like, yeah, this is what I expected and more.
Sounds like you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It was all right.
Yeah. Our next comedian...
Hickory Dickory Dock.
You want me to finish it?
No, I'm just...
This chick was... Yeah, this is a family show, so we're going to leave it at that. Our next comedian, we're gonna do what everybody wants to hear. White men. More white men comedians. Lightning rod of stand-up comedy, Matt Rife.
Ooh, okay, yeah. Right. I'm going into this with zero preconception, so that's good.
I'm surprised you've not heard of him.
No, I've heard of him, but I've only heard of him from comedians, so I basically weren't listening to what they were saying. Okay. All right.
Matty Rife next time.
All right, cool.